Well, thank you, Mr. Klein, and thank you, Mr. Stith, for the first message today. It is rather cool up here. You did a good job, so thank you for that. And also, I'll echo my welcoming greetings to the visitors that we have here. And I see that there are a number of them. I haven't met all of you, but we're glad to have you here. I'm going to start out with a question, and the question is, how's your memory? I asked this in Duluth last week, and of course they're a much smaller group, a little more informal. They just kind of laughed. One lady in front said, oh, not very good. And another lady said, oh, mine's terrible. Well, I think probably all of us to some extent would agree with that. There are things that we forget, and trivial things, though, that we remember for whatever reason it might be. But how accurate are our memories? How can two eyewitnesses give contradictory accounts of the same incident and both be positive about what they saw or did? Is there anything in our lives that we regret or are proud of? Some incident maybe in our own lives that's very important to us, and we talk to others who might have known about it at the time, and they've completely forgotten about it. They don't know what you're talking about. So different things are important to different people. But in this message today, I'd like to look at remembering and forgetting as found in the Bible, and to look at it from God's perspective, what God remembers and what he will forget, things that God wants us to remember, things that man has remembered and forgotten, and the consequences of either of those choices, and what the Bible says about it in the future. This message began as a Bible search, just on the two words, remember in all its forms, and forget in all its forms. And I came up with a list of 229 results about remember, and 67 about forget. I won't have time to go through all of them. I'll leave out maybe a handful of each of those groups, but no, it's way too much. And so what I tried to do was to group them together to see if there were repeated messages that we could kind of get some points out about those. And I did come up with some. First of all, we'll talk about remembering. And I'll just say this message is split into four parts. The first part is about remembering. The second part is what the Bible says about forgetting. And then the third and fourth parts are how we remember and how we forget. And for your reassurance, these parts get shorter as we go along. So you can take consolation in that, I guess. The first time it's mentioned is a reference to God remembering individuals, and it happens in Genesis 8, referring to Noah. In Genesis 8, and I do have a lot of scriptures. I won't expect you to turn to them, but if you could just make notation of them if you wish. In Genesis 8, 1, Noah and his family had already gone into the ark, and the animals were in there. The flood had lasted for 40 days. All living things had been destroyed, and the waters had been prevailing for 150 days. And then in Genesis 8:1, the first time remember is used in the Bible, it says, then God remembered Noah, and he remembered every little living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. And it goes on in the following verses, the following chapter, where God gives Noah the rainbow as a sign of the covenant that he was making with him. And he says that he will remember that as an everlasting covenant. God will remember it, and Noah will remember it when he sees the rainbow. So God remembered Noah, but he remembered other individuals as well. He remembered Abraham. For example, when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed in Genesis 19, it talks about that, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. God remembered Abraham's nephew Lot, and he preserved him and his family, except for Lot's wife, of course. He remembered Abraham later on because he made a covenant with him that was passed down to his family. When they were in Egypt, Israel was in bondage. They were in slavery. And they were groaning. They cried out. They asked God for help. And in Exodus 2, verse 24, it says that God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. So God thought about them. He remembered them because of this covenant that he had made with Abraham, because of Abraham's faithfulness to him. God talks about this memory not just being short-term, but long-term. He talks about blessings and cursings that will come upon the people. Blessings if people remember God, remember his laws, and obey him, they will be rewarded for that. And if, on the other hand, they do not remember them, if they walk their own way, they're going to be cursed because of that. In Leviticus 26, Leviticus 26, 40 through 45, just read a couple of these verses. Leviticus 26, 40 says, "If they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I have also have walked contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised hearts are humbled, and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and my covenant with Isaac, my covenant with Abraham, I will remember." So even though Israel turned away from God, he says that if they recognize that and they turn back to him, he will remember them. He will remember this covenant. And in verse 45 of Leviticus 26, it says, "But for their sake, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord." So Abraham and Noah are a couple of the people that says God remembered. He remembered some other individuals too. Rachel and Hannah. Both of these women had been barren. They wanted to have children, but for whatever reason, they were unable to do so. But God remembered each of them. They prayed to him for children, and they tried their best to follow and obey him. And he gave each of them a son. He gave Joseph as a son to Rachel in Genesis 30. And in 1 Samuel 1, he gave Samuel as a son to Hannah. So he heard their prayers. He remembered them. He remembered how badly they wanted children. God remembers many other people too. Each one of us. He remembers each of us. God knows each one of us by name. He's called us, and we're part of that calling. As part of that calling, he has made promises to us about his kingdom. And just as he remembered Noah and Abraham and Rachel and Hannah and others, he'll remember each one of us and will remember his promises to us. God knows all the details of our lives. He knows our trials and our concerns, and he will give us what we need according to his will. It may not be what we want, but it's what we need and what he knows we need. So that's one aspect of what God remembers. He remembers his people as individuals. God also remembers his covenant. That was indicated earlier. He remembered his covenant with Abraham. In Psalm 105, It talks about this. David says in Psalm 105, verses 8 through 10, he remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. Now, how long is 1,000 generations? If we figure 25 years per generation, that'd be 25,000 years. That's a long time. And I'm sure this is meant to be taken not literally, but to be regarded as forever. The covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant. God remembers that covenant. Another thing about God is that he commanded his people to remember. God will remember, but he expects his people to remember too. When he led his people out of Egypt and into the promised land, he commanded them to remember that they were coming out of slavery and that it was God who was leading them. It was important to God, and it's important to his people and to us to remember where we came from. Israel needed to remember where they came from. They didn't always, at least not in the right way. In Deuteronomy 5:15, he says to remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. The Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. And in Deuteronomy 7:18, they're talking about the nations around them when they're going in to conquer the land that God promised them. And God tells them, you should not be afraid of these people. They look mighty, and they are mighty, but God is with Israel. He said, you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, and the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by the, which the Lord your God brought you out. He told them to remember that because it would give them courage, give them confidence. They didn't always remember Egypt in the right way, as I said, because they started to look back on how it was in Egypt and how it was for them in the wilderness. And they said, well, at least back in Egypt we had food to eat and it wasn't that bad there. They were starting to think about turning back in their heads. That's not what God meant by remember them. So as God commanded his people, we also need to remember. We need to remember how God's mighty hand and outstretched arm also works with us and for us today, with each one of us. Again, in Psalm 105, we're told to remember God's works, or to remember God's mighty hand and his power, his outstretched arm. Another thing we need to remember is God's works. In Psalm 105, verse 5, remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. And just in reference, Psalm 111 and 4, it says, he has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And sometime if we're just kind of discouraged, we just need to think about that, to think about God's works, everything that he's done for us, everything that he's promised us, everything that lies ahead in his kingdom, his great works, many of which haven't been done yet, but will be done. Remembering God's works helps us to remember his power and his strength, and it gives us a glimpse into what his kingdom may be like. So we need to remember God's power, remember his works. We're also told to remember his law. Malachi 4:4, remember the law of Moses. Malachi 4:4, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and the judgments. We're told also to remember God's covenant. I mentioned earlier that God remembers his covenant. This is an everlasting covenant that he made, and he remembers it. Abraham remembered it. We need to remember it. I mentioned earlier in Psalm 105 that God said he remembers his covenant. In 1 Chronicles 16, he says the same thing to us. He tells us, remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant. That's something else that we're told to remember. It's something that will help us through life. We're told that we need to remember God's Sabbath and his holy days. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That command is very familiar to us, and that's why we're here today. He talks about the other holy days too. For an example, in Exodus 13, when God's people were going out of Egypt, it says, Exodus 13:3, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No unleavened bread shall be eaten. So he's talking about the spring holy days, the Passover, the days of unleavened bread. There are other places where he talks about the other holy days. He tells us we need to remember them and to observe them. We need to remember all of God's holy days, just as we'll be doing tomorrow as we observe Pentecost. What else are we told to remember? We're told to remember the Lord and our Creator. After the captivity, when the Jews were rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem, this is covered in the book of Nehemiah, they've got to start on these walls, and the people in the land are seeing what the Jews are doing, and they're starting to be a little bit afraid of that. They're afraid of the power this other people might have if they're able to build the walls all around the city like they used to be. So they start harassing them as they're building them. And Nehemiah talks to the Jews, and he said, do not be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of these people. He says to remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So we don't need to be afraid if we know that we're doing what God wants us to and we're remembering what he tells us. Ecclesiastes 12, in verse 1, actually verses 1 through 7, but it's summed up in verse 1. Ecclesiastes 12, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. So we're told to remember the Lord, remember God, remember our Creator. What are the effects of remembering God's law and remembering these other things? David talks a lot about that in the Psalms, about the effect it has on him when he thinks about God and his law and he meditates on it and he lets it guide him in his life. He says in Psalm 63, the subtitle here is Joy in the Fellowship of God. So this is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. It starts out, O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. David thought about that. He thought about the loving kindness and the love that God had for him. And he said, that's better than life itself, just knowing that. He says in verse 6 through 8, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. David got a lot of assurance and comfort just knowing that God was with him. Talks about meditating on him and the comfort that it brings to him. In verse 11, it says, but the king shall rejoice in God, talking about himself. Everyone who swears by him, by God, shall glory. But the mouths of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Something interesting happened to Paul, too, when he remembered the word of the Lord. This is in the section of the vision that he had. In Acts 11, 16 through 18, Paul says, then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent. People were kind of stunned by the implication of what Paul was saying and what God was showing him when he remembered the word of the Lord. And they thought about that, and then it says, and they glorified God, saying, then God has granted also to the Gentiles repentance to life. That just came to them. That was revealed to them because he remembered the word of the Lord. There are consequences, too, of not remembering. In Psalm 78, read a few verses out of there if you want to turn to Psalm 78. In verse 55, says, he also drove out the nations before them, allotted them an inheritance by survey, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, he was furious and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hands. God had been working with these people. He had blessed them, and they followed him for a while. But then they turned aside. They were increasing in power and wealth and started to become overconfident and thinking that this was something they had brought on themselves, that they didn't need God anymore. They built high places, they carved images, and they turned away from God. And it says God delivered them into captivity, delivered them over to their enemies. And that story is repeated over and over if you read through the history books in the Old Testament. God works with Israel. They prosper. They turn away from God. They're punished or taken into a captivity. They call out to God for help. He hears them. The cycle repeats. He'll bless them again. And again, they'll follow him for a while and then turn away. It just is repeated over and over. There are things, God remembers a lot of things as we see. There are things that we wish he wouldn't remember. People beg for God's forgiveness in Psalm 25. In verse 7 of Psalm 25, it says, David is saying, do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. So that's something we want God to forget, the sins that we committed in the past, things that we put behind us. Psalm 79 and verse 8 says the same thing. O Lord, do not remember, or it says, oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us. I think we all wish that. And God hears that. He knows that. And he says, I won't remember that. In Isaiah 43:25, he says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. And that's just as reassuring to hear what God won't remember as it is to hear what he will remember. So it works both ways with God. And he repeats this. It isn't just that one time that he says that he won't remember that. In Jeremiah 31, in verse 34, just refer to that. He says, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. He repeats it again in Hebrews, in chapter 8, in verse 12. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, their sins, and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Apparently, he thinks we need to hear that more than once. We need to be reassured about that. We don't want him to remember them, and we are assured that he will not. He will forget our sins, our lawless deeds, as it says. What about in the future? What does it say about people in the future? And will they remember God? Will they remember his law, his covenant, his creation, his power? In Psalm 22, verses 27 and 28, David says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over all the nations. It says that everybody, all the ends of the world, will remember and turn to God. And we all look forward to that time. In Psalm 45:17, David says, I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore the people shall praise you forever and ever. So those are the times that we look forward to, the times that we can think about in the future when everyone will remember God. So that's the first part of the message, about remembering. The second part is forgetting. The Bible says a lot about forgetting, too. Quite often, though, it's worded not forget this, but the other way, do not forget this. There are several things that it says that we should not forget. And is that the same as remembering? It could be. There's probably a slight distinction. If you talk about remember this versus do not forget this, I think remember implies a little more active. Forgetting seems to imply just don't let it slip away from you. Or the other way around, things forget this is more active than do not remember. But he talks about, first of all, we're told to not forget the Lord. We're told earlier to remember the Lord. Now we're told, do not forget the Lord. In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. And if we do that, or if we neglect to do that, we will forget God. That's what happened to Israel. The consequences, it says in verse 14, are that you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And in verse 17, then you say in your heart, my power, the might of my hand, have gained me this wealth. That's just what Israel did. They forgot God's laws. They forgot God himself. They forgot about the bondage in Egypt. And they said, this is because of my strength and my power, nothing to do with God. and that's when they were punished for it. So we're told to not forget the Lord. We're told also to not forget God's works. In Psalm 78, verses 5 through 8, Psalm 78, 5 through 8, says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make him known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they might arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God." We're told to not forget the works of God, but to keep his commandments. In Psalm 103, there's a verse that is familiar in one of the hymns that we sing from time to time. Verse 2 of Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." We sing that. Do we ever think of that, though? Do we think about the benefits of God? We're told not to forget them, because there are many. And other verses talk about being aware lest we forget God and his covenant and his law. I just touched on a few of them. So we're told, do not forget the Lord. Do not forget God's works. And what are the consequences if we do forget? Well, we've talked about them a little already. It's summed up in Hosea 4 and verse 6. Hosea 4, 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." That's what will happen and what happens today and what did happen in the past. James, we heard about James in the first message today. He talks about being a forgetful hearer rather than a doer of God's work. We have to do it, just like Mr. Stith was saying. What are things that God doesn't forget? We heard about some things that he remembers, some things that he will forget because we have asked him to. God doesn't forget. In Psalm 9, verse 12, it says, "He does not forget the cry of the humble." If anyone approaches God in humility, God will hear that and remember it. In various psalms, David asks God why he has forgotten his people and asks him to not forget them, and God won't. There is something to forget, something Paul says he forgot. By implication, we should forget it too. And that's in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So we're told to forget about our failures, forget about our past. I read scriptures where we ask God to forget about our early sins and other things in our former lives, former parts of our lives. We have to forget about them too, put them behind us to build on them and learn from them. There are things that David does not, did not, will not forget. And all you have to do is look at Psalm 119. And practically every verse in there talks about God's law and his commandments, his statutes. In various wordings, David says, "I do not," or "I will not," or "I will never forget your word, your statutes, your precepts, your law, your commandments. You can pretty much pick a verse at random in Psalm 119, and David will say some version of that. So we likewise cannot forget them either, must not forget them. So that is the second part about forgetting. Now the third part, how do we remember? If we're going to remember something, think back on how we learn things. Think about classroom learning, for example. We learn by seeing and hearing and doing. We learn by repetition, by application, by being tested, by reviewing. And maybe we learn or remember by leaving ourselves notes. Don't forget to pick up bread or whatever it might be. Remember to do this. I know I have to leave myself notes. Remember to get gas before the weekend, that kind of thing. What about cramming? Well, every one of us has done that, I think. Every one of us has been in school and we come to the big test and, well, we think we kind of know it, but not really, and we spend much of the night before cramming for it, looking over our notes and highlights in the book and so on. Well, it helps for short term, but I've always thought that if I were given that same test a week later, I would do much worse on it. It's not long-term learning. If you think about learning a language, you learn by memorization to some extent, but also by conversation and speaking with others, putting it to use and applying it. Malcolm Gladwell claims that it takes, or he quotes someone who claims that it takes 10,000 hours to learn something well. In his book, Outliers, The Story of Success, he's quoting neurologist Daniel Levitin, who says, "In study after study of composers, basketball players, fiction writers, ice skaters, concert pianists, chess players, master criminals even, and what have you, this number comes up again and again, this number of 10,000 hours. It seems that it takes the brain this long to assimilate all that it needs to know to achieve true mastery." And there are those who would dispute that, and I don't know that it's the number itself that is important. It's the idea that it takes a long time to learn something, to do something, to learn about our spiritual lives, to learn about God's law. And if we were able to find an expert Christian, and I don't think there's anyone who could claim to be that we would put any credibility in, I think they would tell you it takes a lifetime. We can't stop at 10,000 hours. It's something that we just have to keep doing over and over. Our spiritual lives are like that. They require study and review and repetition and practice. We need to know what it is that we're trying to remember. Part four, how do we forget? If there are things about our lives that we're trying to remove or forget about, it doesn't work to keep reminding ourselves about what we're trying to forget. We can't leave notes that say, remember, don't do whatever it is. That'll just reinforce what it is and make us want it to do it. What things do we forget? Well, we forget things we don't use or don't think about. We forget names of people we haven't seen for a while, people we have just met sometimes. We hear a name and walk away, and it's like we never heard it. In some lines of work, we forget knowledge as it becomes outdated and is no longer used. Our former knowledge becomes obsolete, and we no longer remember the details, and we don't need to in most cases. We forget things we did, places we've been. I've seen pictures that I took, but I sure don't remember being there taking that picture. And you probably have had that experience. We forget former routines in our lives. We all had a set routine at one time, or maybe depending on what line of work you're in, we have certain things we did at certain times of day, and then something changes, and we look back, and, well, I can't remember what that was. Does anyone remember their, disregarding the people in the front row here, does anyone remember their locker number from high school, their locker combination, if you had one? Well, I don't. Some of them probably have forgotten it already, too, but because we don't need to know it anymore, and we don't use it. So what things do we forget, and why do we forget them? I already mentioned that in a scripture that I reported earlier in Deuteronomy 8 and verses 11 through 17. It tells us how we forget. Deuteronomy 8:11, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I commanded you today. And don't forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Because eventually we'll be like the Israelites and say, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. So we forget by neglecting things. For overcoming, when we examine ourselves, we see things, see areas we need to change, and that involves forgetting our old behavior. Well, how do you forget then? We can't remind ourselves of what we want to forget. A key to forgetting something and putting it behind us is to replace those thoughts and memories with something else. If there's this that we're trying not to do, then we have to replace it with this and think about this that we're trying to do instead. And even after we have forgotten or think we've forgotten about something or someone, it can sometimes immediately come to mind again with the right trigger. And there could be a certain sound that reminds us of something, or a smell, or a name, or a particular song. You hear it and you haven't heard it or thought about it for 30 years, but suddenly you hear it and immediately you remember what you were doing at the time when you heard it. It was important to you once. It's a trigger. So if we're trying to change and forget something in our life, we need to be aware of the kinds of triggers that can make the change more difficult and just be on guard for them. And of course, I'm no expert, and I'm oversimplifying this and making it sound like it should be a trivial task. It isn't. We all know that it can be very difficult to make changes and to overcome. So to wrap up, talking about remembering and forgetting, I mentioned things God remembers and things that God will not remember. I mentioned things that we need to remember. I mentioned some of the effects of remembering and the consequences of not remembering. I mentioned some things that we must not forget and things that we should forget. I mentioned things that God does not forget. And briefly mentioned how we remember and how we forget. Throughout the Bible, we can find examples of things God remembers and things God forgets. Things that we are to remember and to forget. There are examples, the effects of making right decisions, and the consequences about wrong ones. Some of the key things that we need to remember are God himself, God's law, his covenant, his works, his Sabbaths and holy days. Our minds are subject to forgetting things that we don't use. And God works with us through. God works with us, though, and gives us weekly reminders of various aspects of his plan and his law, just as he's doing today. And he reminds us through his holy day cycle, which we observe each year, and we'll be observing tomorrow as well. So God does his part, and it's up to us to do ours.